in the name of Jesus. I pray that the peace of God that surpasses human understanding will reign in your heart. Father, as we have come to your presence this morning, Lord, speak to us, open our heart, bless us, O God. Let your Holy Spirit speak the truth to our heart in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you because you're faithful. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your blessings. The Bible says the entrance of your word brings light and understanding to the simple. Daddy, we claim this morning we do not have any knowledge of our own. Father, let your word bring light and understanding to us in the name of Jesus. For thy word is a light unto my path. Father, we pray, let there be illumination on our path in the name of Jesus. Everything we need to understand, show to us this day. Father, we honor you. Everyone that has come today, Lord, let there be a blessing. Let there be a gift. Let there be an impartation in the name of Jesus. I come against every spirit of buying and selling in the name of Jesus. I declare that this day that the powers of heaven shall remove every stain or every weight upon every shoulder in the name of Jesus. Father, have your way. Every spirit of sleeping, wandering, thinking, no, not being present, Lord, I pray those shall be kicked out in the name of Jesus. Let it be atmosphere for miracle. We thank you, King of Glory, for we have asked in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you indeed. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. I will read from verse 14. Matthew chapter 17 from verse 14. Thank you very much for coming to church today. I pray that the Lord will bless you according to his word in Genesis that says that on the day of the Sabbath, he has commanded his blessing. I pray that the commanded blessing of God shall come upon you in the name of Jesus. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. From verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on my son. For he is crazy, he's a lunatic, and he's so vexed, he's always angry. Oftentimes, he will fall into fire. Sometimes, and even many times, he will fall into the water. Verse 16, I brought him to your disciples. They couldn't cure him. Jesus said and answered, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil. I read that part again. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he left or departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in the name of Jesus. Today, I quickly want to charge us with something that we all know, but I pray that the Holy Spirit will bring rhema out of this word in the name of Jesus. Because now, the logos, the word itself may not profit. We may be familiar with it, but we need to understand something. Believe, how many of us here are believers? See, some of my questions will be rhetorical. They will sound a little bit like, what are you talking about? How many of us are believers? Well, everybody was a believer. A believer is someone that believes or accepts certain truth about something. I am a believer in the truth of God. Therefore, I'm a believer. But because you are a believer, it does not make you something different than that. Believe is to accept the truth. When you accept the truth of the scriptures, then you are a believer. But that is not very profitable. I want to define something quickly because today we want to talk about faith that moves mountains. Oh, we love that. It's an idiom. When they say they can move mountains, it means that they can do something impossible, something unreasonable, something not realistic, so to say. Faith that moves mountains. If we ask everyone what is faith, I know we're going to go into classical definition of faith. Faith is, don't worry about it. I know you're going to cut to me Hebrews chapter 11 from verse. Don't worry about that. What I want us to do today is to be very realistic about what faith is. Or, at least I pray the Holy Spirit will make us to understand what faith is. Faith that moves mountains. I pray that going forward from today, your faith will be activated and you'll be able to move mountains in your ways in the name of Jesus. You've heard this sermon before. I bet you every scripture that we quote, you know them already. But that is not what and why God has sent me here today. Today we want to understand faith in a very practical way. Faith, I would declare to us, is acting based on trust. Acting based on trust. Let me say something very simple here. By the time Jesus was telling Peter, cast your net again, what was Peter supposed to do? Was he supposed to trust Jesus? But you see, where I'm going this morning is this. Knowing the truth is nothing compared to acting on the truth. Everyone knows the scriptures. In fact, the Bible says the devil knows the scriptures and he trembles. But acting on the scriptures is the most differentiating factor of someone that acts in faith and somebody that says, I'm a believer. You can believe in the word of God, and when the word of God asks you to walk upon the waters, will you walk upon the waters? Are you going to act based on the trust you have in the word of God? Acting based on trust. It's very difficult to trust people. But what I'm asking us this morning is for us to shift our mind. Forget about every other thing. Can you imagine how trustworthy God is? How trustworthy is God? Can I trust this God? Can I trust him? Can I trust him? Faith is acting based on trust. Okay? But when you are going to act based on trust, what if the things that I'm asking you to do, if they are ridiculous? Are you going to do the things because you trust me? That is faith. Faith. If I say right now that there is a $5 bill on the table in the office there, and whoever wishes, first person that goes there should go and take it. Do you know you may believe I'm telling the truth? You may believe I'm not telling the truth. You can begin to think about it. The only time you are going to act if you trust my word is when you get up and go to that place and go grab the $5 that is there. Acting based on trust. Mark chapter 5, quickly. I want us to become a better Christian. God bless you. Because if we continue to believe, most of us, we've had enough scriptures. You have enough sermon that it's enough for us to begin to now step out of waters. Mark chapter 5. And we start reading from verse 21. And when Jesus was passing over again by the sheep onto the other side, a lot of people gathered around him. And it was very close to the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He begged him greatly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. I beg you, come and lay your hands on her so that she may be healed and she shall live. This man saw the daughter. She's running all kinds of whatever symptoms that he was looking at. And he said, I have to go and meet Jesus. Fell on the ground and was doing it. You know, sometimes when some people will act based on the trust they have on God, you that you are an observer, you're going to be laughing at them and say, is something obviously not wrong with this man or with this woman? Jairus was not just any guy, as we have read, was a ruler of the synagogue. For your information, a ruler of the synagogue has a vote in condemning or sparing the life of any person. The ruler of the synagogue has a vote on who should be admitted to synagogue or be removed. Because if you read many times, whenever they will have to kick out Apostle Paul and his cohorts,
It is the ruler of the synagogue that will say, okay, who's appointed to be the whatever here? Let's kick this guy out. So this man threw away every other thing, but because the daughter was terribly sick. But he was not wishing at home that Jesus would come one day. He was not wishing one day that, okay, perhaps Jesus would come around. He acted based on the fact that he trusted that Jesus would come. What if he said, am I going to not ridicule myself if I go and ask him and beg in front of everybody and this man decided to say, oh, you are a Jew, you're not going to, I'm not going, he's not come to my house. He said, I pray, please come to my house and come and lay your hands on my child. He has a sure trust in the fact that Jesus laying hands on that daughter was going to change the story. And Jesus went with him. A lot of people followed him and thronged him. If there is any lesson I want us to learn from here, is also this. When we're among multitude, I want you to believe in what you believe in God and pursue God based on your understanding of God. Every other person may be saying, come on, let's write a letter. Come on, wait until something happens. And there are so many other ways for the daughter to be healed. They could go and find a doctor. That is a reasonable approach to a reasonable person. But he acted based on the trust that God can do something. And now, as they were going, here is the catch. A certain woman that we don't have the name, which had a serious problem of issue of blood for 12 years. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years. That's 12 times. 12 is 24, right? No, 144, right? 12 times 12 is 144. 144 months of having issue of blood. Maybe we should turn into minutes. No. The reason why I'm trying to make sure that we understand when they mention some of these numbers is to see if you have a problem for 1 month, it's enough to make you want to pursue and see a doctor. If you have a problem for 2 months, that's enough time to wait around until you go and pursue something. But for 12 years, she has been having an issue of blood. What they term issue of blood here could be anything. Could be anything. But definitely, she's having a lot of issues. And had suffered many things of many doctors. So don't blame her and say, why didn't you go and see a doctor? She has gone to see doctors. And had spent all that she had. Don't say, well, didn't you try to just try this prescription, try this medication? She had gone and spent all she had. And she was not better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, it's a very important thing. That's why I say belief is different from faith now. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in and pressed behind and touched the hem of the garment. She heard about Jesus. She came among the people, pressed behind and through them, and touched his garment. Did she have faith? That is definition of faith. You don't have faith and sit down and tell me that you believe everything you believe when you know that there are practical steps to take to get to where you're going. Faith is acting based on the trust you have. You may have 100% trust in your bank account, and you need money right now, but you are not standing up to go to the ATM onto the branch and say, give me money, here's the checkbook. The money is not going to come except someone else will bring the money. We all have to understand faith is acting. Faith is not thinking. Faith is not understanding. Faith is not reasoning about the truth of the word of God or the power of the word of God. Faith is acting based on the trust we have in the word of God. This woman had suffered a lot. Of course, she can be considered to be desperate right now. But if you don't act based on the word of God, you have not started to execute your faith. So where I'm going this morning is we're going to read one or two things and bring example here and we'll pray. is everything that you think in your heart and your mind that I have faith, God, I have faith. Have you ever acted based on the trust you have on God? She pressed through the crowd. She touched his garment. Who told her that touching the hem of the garment was going to solve the problem? She has spent all her living. She has been to many doctors. She probably had tried a lot of different alternate care, alternate medicine, alternate practice, whatever. But she just said, I trust that if, and sometimes that does not make any sense. How is touching the hem of the garment will solve the problem? As just everybody will ask you now, how is trusting Jesus will take you to heaven? Everybody will laugh and think and say, it doesn't make too much sense. You guys are just deceiving yourselves. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Verse 28. And the same way the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. It was not that a doctor immediately came around and checked her and said, now you are healed. She felt it. She knew it. Bible said immediately she knew that she was healed. She knew she was healed. She knew she was healed. What if she said, I am healed, and somebody said, will you stop that nonsense? You are still sick. What if somebody said, what is the thing you're talking about? We know you still have the problem. Who has proven to you that the problem has gone? And I want to announce to us that she was still in the same clothing and the same dress that she was when she left home with her problem. But the moment she was claiming she was whole, the only singular event that has happened is she has acted based on her trust to go touch the hem of the garment of Jesus. There is a side note on this story. Jesus was going to do a miracle. Jesus was going to heal somebody. Jesus was having a mission, a plan, something on the agenda. But someone will lead Jesus. I pray that you will be able to know when to press on and touch Jesus, even when some other things have been planned specifically in the name of Jesus. You know, sometimes somebody will say, and I've had it many times, we're going to have a program, we're going to have this event, we're going to have this prayer session, we're going to have this, and we're believing God that God will do great and mighty things. It takes only one person in his or her heart to say, Lord, this same event that everything is going to happen for somebody or for this person or that, I will pray just one prayer in this same meeting. And Lord, this specific thing that I'm trusting you for will happen. And I'll be like, have you not prayed the same prayer before? Let me ask you this question. Was Jesus the only first person that this woman would have touched? No. She knew she was ill. Now, verse 30. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, he turned about among the people and the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And you know, that's a very ridiculous thing. There can be in this service right now, as today we're just teaching, and somebody is thinking and say, Lord, I want to act out on the trust of the word of God. And I'm believing you for something specific, something unique, or a thing that I believe that will change, but I will begin to act on it. Although you have not thought about that before you came, but now you are thinking about something specific. Bible says, and Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciples said to him, you see a lot of people around you, and you're asking, who touched me? And they looked around to see her, that this thing has happened to. But the woman was afraid, was trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Now, and he said unto her, daughter, now, this is where I'm going, because I want to make sure that we understand what faith is. Faith is not thinking. Faith is not believing alone. Faith is not just reading the Bible. Faith is not understanding the scriptures. Faith is not trying to figure out things. Faith is acting based on the word of God. And daughter,
34. Your faith. Now, your faith. Your faith. He said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of whatever has been affecting you. What did Jesus see to say your faith? Not because she thought about it, but because she acted on it. I'm sure there are so many of us here this morning, you are thinking about so many things that God has put in your heart to do. You can't do it because you feel if you do it, and many times, and I'll quickly show within the limited time I have, sometimes maybe we think it's a suicide. That this is impossible. This does not make sense. I'm not going to survive if I do it. And many times we're thinking like the Jairus could have said, I'm risking my title here. What are you going to risk to get the deliverance you want? But you must act in faith. He said, your faith has made you whole. Faith. Faith. If you read in the book of Hebrews that most of us would like to really read when we want to talk about faith, you will see that the people that were listed in Hebrews chapter 11, they were not people that were just thinking about scriptures. These were people that were acting about scriptures. We were praying this morning, and the prayer was raised of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They did not think about God was a great God and stop there. They acted when it was required. Hebrews chapter 3 from verse 12, I quickly want to read this. Faith that moved mountain. If anybody will challenge you, or if we are going to challenge ourselves this morning, I want us to quit thinking that I know what faith is. You don't know what faith is until you start acting based on what you believe about God. You act based on the trust you have for God. As we are opening the book of Hebrews chapter 3, remember when this man asked Jesus, sir, are you the one that is standing on the water? That does not make sense to me. It looks like that's not reality. Bid me to come if you are the master. Oh, Jesus said, you have faith? You really want to do this? Come. And Bible said the man started walking on the water. Most of us this day, today, especially this month, and this quarter and this year, there are certain things that you will almost achieve, but will not. If you don't act in faith, you have thought about it, you have believed about it, you have prayed about it, you have done everything about it, and you know God is saying yes, yes. But the next thing that will make your faith to be obvious is to take that first step. Jesus said, you want to walk on water? Take that first step. In fact, the moment you, if you were the man, sir, you would think, number one, do I have life jacket? Number two, do I know how to swim? Number three, how deep is the water? Number four, do they have people that can save people when they are drowning? You know, if you wanted, they call them what? Lifeguards. Do they have lifeguard around? Number five, what if this guy is trying to trick me? I know he can stand on the water, but can I? Number five or six, can I just float? And the reason I'm bringing all this is, the reason we don't act in faith is because we think, I'm not Christian enough. I'm not holy enough. I don't believe God enough. I know that other people can do it, God can do it, but do I think God will do it for me? Faith is stepping up. You want to start a great business. You say like, it's a great business. I know there's an opportunity in San Antonio. But you will never start that business because you are stuck at the point of thinking. You are stuck at the point of praying because sometimes we don't understand how prayer works. Bible says, and Jesus, you know, when he was praying, he will act out the prayer. Because the reason why the prayer was actually done was because there was a practical step that must follow it. Every time you pray and there's no practical step,
It's like you say, Father, you know, we talk about forgiveness this morning. Father, I forgive this person. You told them that before you give your offering and begin to pray about it, first leave your offering, go out there and go reconcile with the person, because your prayer must be contingent on the action. If I pray from now to tomorrow, oh God, I really need a favor. You need a favor? Let me look at this. Let me give another example. I know we're going to Hebrews chapter 3 and my time is running. Bible said, and Nehemiah, having heard of the problem and the issues in Jerusalem, he was living far off. He prayed from April all through almost to August. No action. And then the king looked at him and said, well, your face looks a little bit weird. What's going on? Are you sick? He said, I'm not sick, sir. He said, but something must be wrong. He said, yeah, I've heard about my people and I really want to take time out to go and fix the problem. So he said, tell me what you need. See, the action part of it is if he says, I don't know, sir, I'm just believing God that there will be a deliverance to my people. Do you know that they will always and continue to be in that situation? God will come up with another plan. But the moment he says, sir, I will come back tomorrow with the thing I've been praying about. Every time you have a prayer point and you cannot step out in faith to act on it, consider that you have not started having faith. It is a good thing to know that we believe. It's a good thing to know that we have Bible to remind us. It's a good thing for us to know that we understand it. But until you step out in faith, you cannot. Bible said, except a seed falls down and dies. The moment, if you like planting and you have corn in your house, and I wanted to bring this, but I forgot. For the last 7 or 9 months, we've bought this seed thing, the flower thing, huh? Flower bed in the house. I took my kids, we bought it from Home Depot. We've not planted. For the last 8 months, those seeds are perfectly intact. We know for sure the moment we plant them, it will begin to grow. But they're still in my house now. They're pretty. The seeds are pretty. They're still in the satchel. You sound them like this, you're going to hear. Most of us, everything that we believe in God from heaven is still in the satchel. But the day you dare to put that thing down and pour water on it, and then we count just 5 weeks, and you begin to see flowers and tomatoes and bell pepper coming out of it. But we've been keeping it for 9 months. Can we blame God that God does not allow this thing to come? We can pray in our house for the next 1 year. Father, let the seed become fruit. God will say, yes, I've heard your prayer. So let it be so. And we say, Lord, we truly believe you. We're going to pray for the next 6 months. Let this seed become fruit. We believe God. I don't want to doubt that. But we have never taken a practical step to turn that belief to faith. Faith is acting based on trust. Do you have faith in your wife or your husband? This is how you measure it. Like I said, it is acting based on trust. When you say, I have faith in you, wait a minute. Tell me exactly one thing you have practically done to show that you believe that you have trust. It is acting. It's not thinking about it. It's not imagining it. There was a time in college I had to take chemistry. I can't remember. Chemistry 3 something. The third year. There was no reason for me to take chemistry. I was doing computer science. So there was no point in the world. And I don't like chemistry. You have too many things to remember. I just can't. I don't like it. I prayed to God one day. I went to the back of the chapel in school. Lord, I do not like this course. Even though I've tried to read it. It's too volatile, you know. It's organic chemistry too. Yeah. And I cannot. I just can't. There's too many things to learn. And I was praying. In fact, I still have a scratch on my hand. So as I was praying at the back of the chapel, I scratched my hand. Oh, it was bleeding a little bit, but I didn't stop. So I said, God, this my hand is bleeding now. You know, because that's how I pray. I'm sorry. So God said, what are you supposed to do now? I said, I don't know. I just don't know this topic. I don't know. Is it complicated? And he said, 4 credit course. So, 4 credit course. So, I was taking 4 credit course, and I was about to really flunk this course. And in third year, you know that your GPA will definitely be messed up. So I believed God. I said, God, okay. So when my hand was bleeding, he said, stop this thing you're doing. go back to your room, right? And every topic I will bring to your mind to read, read all those things and get yourself ready for exam. And this is around 10 o'clock. Okay, I left, I went back, you know. And the strangest thing that ever happened to me in my life was in that exam hall. So when we got to the exam hall, I read as many things that came to my mind. I tried to do my due diligence. When I got to the exam hall, I first put my pen down. I said, God, this is the day I've prayed about this issue before. And this is the day, if I fail this course, that means I have carried over. And I already had my final year planned out, all the things that were there. But Lord, I've prayed to you. You told me you're going to tell me. I've read a little bit. I can't even remember all of them right now. But I'm going to take this course now. Help me indeed. You cannot believe it. And the table they gave me, because it was the third floor, I was overlooking the lagoon. So it was late in the evening. I can still remember everything today as that day was. It was around 8 p.m. that evening. As I was looking at the lagoon, the question was there. I saw 17 questions. I said, this is the end of the world. It's not going to happen. And the 17 questions, not objective, not the ones you pick ABC. I said, Father, I prayed about it. He said, stop. I said, right. I will never forget in my life. I started writing. I cannot 100% tell you what I was writing right now. I was writing, and it was like I was reading a book, and I was copying the book. I'm telling you the truth. I was writing it, and it was like, the reason I know is my handwriting was never that good. Because the way it was flowing, there was no mistake, no crossing anything. I was writing, flowing. Less than 1 hour, I was done. Do you know, I came back to my senses. And then I realized I had finished. And I had answered 17 questions. And I filled the entire paper. So I looked at the time and I kind of woke up. So when I realized, I cannot remember again, I was looking at the lagoon. Because that was what happened. And then I said, okay, let me review what has been written down. So I looked through it. I didn't completely understand. I knew I had drawn some chemical bonds, which I can still remember today. If you ask me the name, I have no idea what the name was. Perhaps I had read it, but I did not know. When I finished, when I dropped my paper one about 35 minutes earlier than it was supposed to be, everybody knew for sure. This guy, something had happened. When it was time to go check my result, I couldn't brave that. But when I went there, I don't know how many people got A. I got a 4-credit course. And that day going forward, I told God, I said, with this scratch in my hand, I know absolutely stepping out to trust what you say. Such problem. If you ask me how I passed that exam, I cannot. I'm not saying that tomorrow don't read for your exam. I read. But what I'm saying is what I read. What I was writing, I did not know effectively. It's like I woke up afterwards. When I say acting based on trust, I could come up with any other idea. You know? I could do any other thing and just say, I'm just going to read 2 chapters because that is my always strategy. If I know I'm going to get 4 questions, I will read 2 chapters very well. So I'll bank on 50%. At least any question that will come, I will get 50%. But this one, I had no strategy other than to pray and believe and acting upon the word of God. The moment we cannot step out in faith to act, our belief is still pure belief. Our Christianity is still theory 101 of Jesus and his values. Acting on the word of God, since that time, if God asks me something or tells me something, once it's very clear in my mind, I have prayed about it, the next thing I do, act. Then I know I have faith. How many of us here, God has been speaking to you something that's very strategic? The first time you're going to want to do it, in fact, you will think you will die. I bet you will think that this is a suicide. I bet you are going to want to argue a little bit. When Peter was thinking about casting the net, it will be like, do I want to look ridiculous? Do I think that doing this will make any difference at all? Because what you have done before and again and again and again and again does not produce any result. God is asking you one more time. But please note this. What I'm talking about faith is God telling you what to do. Now it's asking you to do exactly what you have repeated. And you'll be like, what is the definition of craziness? If you do something that you have done before, and you are repeating it, and you are expecting this different result. You can't tell me it's going to make it the same thing you've done before. By the time Eli talked to the woman, go home, and the Lord answer your prayer. The woman will be thinking, now that I've prayed and prayed and prayed to God, how is God going to change? What has changed in my chemistry, in my body, that will make me to be pregnant today? But the Bible says something and was noted. And he did exactly what they used to do at home with the husband. But that same night, the Lord changed the story. What if she had prayed and she got to him and said, oh, I'm tired. I don't know what this thing you're talking about. Even though I know God can do it, but I don't know if this will happen today. You have to act on the thing you have believed for you to say you have faith. Don't tell me that you have faith when you're not acting on it. It's very easy to say, but some other people have tried it. It's not working. It's not the same thing. Faith is acting based on trust. Acting based on trust. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, after they have trusted God enough, they say, sir, we do not care about this, your fire and this thing you're setting up. We're not going to bow down to this, your God. Okay, does it make any sense for them to try that? They could just retreat into a private fellowship. It is very convenient and actually wise for them not to violate the laws of the king and say, come on, we believe God. If we stay alive, we can do more by reaching out to other people and preach. You know, there is a way to rationalize when God asks you to do certain things. But they actually acted based on what they are convinced about. Every single person here today, there is something God is asking you to do. You know it. You understand it. You are clear about it. The only obstacle is, if I do it, will I survive? Will I make it? Can God catch me? Will God do exactly what he said? But the only thing is, every other person can fail, but God cannot fail. You have to step out in trust. Let me read this piece for us so that we can pray. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 from verse 12. Thank you, Father. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief. It says unbelief is a kind of evil thing. Because if you don't believe certain things about God, there is no way you can act, because trust comes by you first understanding and observing and seeing that, yes, this God is actually who he is, therefore I'm going to rely on his word. If God is going to, you gave a testimony about provision, that almost the last week of the year, God provided. You have no idea yet. If God wants to surprise you with double scholarship, jobs while you were still in school, with car and everything, you'll be thinking, oh God, so this guy is just trying to say it in church. It is but the tiniest little thing that God can do just to surprise you. I have seen so many, almost a minute before it cut off, and then something will happen. You have not started. By the time you do exactly what God asks you to do, take that next step of faith. I don't know what God is saying, but whatever God is saying, actually, that you believe and you're acting, just take one step of faith and see whether God is able to catch what you're going to do. He said, don't let any of you have an evil heart of unbelief. Exhort one another every day while it is called today, lest anyone be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we were made partakers of Christ. I'll quickly go to verse 16. Some people, when they had heard, they provoked, how be all they that came out of Egypt? Not all of them made it. But with whom was grieved for 40 years, was it not with them that had sinned and they fell? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into the rest, but them that believed not So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. Everything that will prevent you from acting based on the word of God, taking the first step, I pray that the Lord will begin to eliminate them out of your way in the name of Jesus. And I want us to understand that, God will help me this morning. I want us to understand, what made David to be David was not just because he was anointed. The reason he was anointed was for him to know that God has ordained him. But the day he went and carried a lunch bag to his brothers, something happened, man. And they said for the last, you know, when people begin to run commentary about the problem of the world, America is called falling, there is no food, things are going to get bad, whatever. People running commentary. And then something happened. He said, so this guy has been holding everybody hostage for the last 40 days. I can fight. He wanted to take, do you know what the brother said? And somebody helped me to understand that. You know, the brother said, you have started like you used to do. You are a very mischievous guy. You are too simple, too naive, and you don't even know what you are doing. But do you know what he said? He said, while I was in the wilderness, God, help me to kill it. How can you compare a Goliath, the leader of an army of Philistines, to be like an animal? And he said, that experience, I'm going to apply it in faith, and I'm going to go fight. And the first thing he did was he approached the king. Of course, eventually, after two men, they didn't want him to even see the king. After he got there, king said, oh, by the way, now that you want to try, I pray that God will go with you, by the way, here is how to do it. No. You cannot start out in faith. That was what Apostle Paul said. And begin to practice faith by counsel or ideas of men. By the time he's launched out, he said, sir, I have not tried this before. Let me go with the same faith that I've started out with. And let's see how this will come out. And so I was like, wait a minute, this guy's going to die. I don't know what people have been planning around. They will have probably dug his thing. See, in case the guy comes out dead, let's just tie rope to him, bring him here and bury him. Sometimes when you want to launch out in faith, it will be like a suicide. But if the only authority you are holding onto is God, that's where the Bible says, the Lord shall arise and fight on your behalf. I pray that the boldness to act in faith will come in the name of Jesus. One enemy of faith is fear. Fear is a very strategic thing in the life of a person. You see, it's part of our body. It was made for us to be able to overcome and survive. When you're afraid, and I was studying this lately now in the brain, the moment you are afraid, it suppresses every emotion. Let fear come into you now. If you feel like you're hungry, you will no longer feel you are hungry. Because the sudden fear that comes into you, it puts fear, survival, and everything. The moment you sense fear at your workplace, do you know every rational thinking goes to the back? So fear basically will want to erode your action of faith. Every time you want to act in faith, the devil will come and say, you want to die? How many people have survived this thing you're trying to do? Everything that will bring fear to your heart, you need to speak them out. And say, Father, every spirit of fear, I remove in the name of Jesus. I keep telling people, by the time I'll be consulting for the president, I know, call me crazy now. It's coming. And by that time, I will say, then I see. And you're thinking, so what's his problem? Is he not okay now? I'm not okay until I become everything that God has asked me to become. When I'm going to launch out, I'm going to ask President, sir, Mr. President, my name is Temitope. But that name, say it again. Doesn't sound right. It's not an American name. I'm an American. It sounds right. Over time, people will get used to it. I mean, McDermott, Schwarzenegger, does that sound right? We're used to it. People will get used to my name when they begin to put them on highways. Amen. I say that for yourself too, right? The Lord will make you so much so by the time they are putting your name on the highways in the name of Jesus. But you have to act in faith. The reason why the church is not growing is because we are too cautious. The moment you plan too well for God, you are not going to succeed. You are too sensitive. If we do this now, the day of Pentecost, they were not having crowd management planning ahead of time. Oh, what if 5,000 people come? What is going to happen if we have people that are coming from Egypt that they don't speak our language? Do we have interpreters? Do we have water? What about children's place and whatever? By the time you act out in faith,
Then let God catch you. I only bet on God. I'm not saying act out in faith in people. The Bible says for those, you know, some we trust in chariot of Egypt, but we trust in the name of the Lord. Faith is acting based on trust and trusting God alone. Trusting God alone. Bible said, Paul, when he was being transported from Caesarea to be tried, God told him in the book of Acts, do you know that this ship may be destroyed, but I've given you every single person. Thank you, sir. Every single person's life, I've given them to you. Be like, okay, it doesn't make any sense. He has been in that same ship. For 14 days, there has been tornado. There was no sunlight. There was nothing. So if by the time he stood up and said, sir, men and brethren, the angel of the Lord would, I believe and I trust, appeared unto me at night, and he told me that there shall be no loss of life. They said, like, excuse me, have you not been here since we have been in this problem? What has changed between the night we started and now? He said, but God already told me. And in fact, he now made one comment. He said, everyone that tried to save himself out of this boat will not make it. And they're thinking, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. In fact, he started begging them, please eat. Something that scripture said that is they used their hands to remove the tackling of the ship, because at this point, fear has taken over. But he was like, don't worry, guys, we'll make it. He said, please eat. They said, food in this situation? And he started eating in front of them. He started acting out based on the word of God. If anybody here says, I have faith, and you are not acting out what God has told you to do, you have not started. And the person will be like the seed I have in my house. It's still going to be dry. It's still going to be neat, but will never be fruitful. I pray that you'll be fruitful in the name of Jesus. The faith you need to act upon, the thing that God has given you, the seed of greatness in your heart, I pray that the Lord will begin to make you to act on it in the name of Jesus. Nehemiah asked two questions. So I want to take long vacation, like sabbatical. But I need a letter of coverage. One for provision, one for security. Is it possible? And I want to give us a quick, and I know my time is fast spent. He said this, for more than 70 years, they've been trying to build a wall. More than 70 years. And he said, I don't want a long vacation. Just give me some time, sir. If you can guarantee me the wood and the letter to the governor to protect me, that would be great. Do you know the part of prayer he was praying to God, Lord, let there be provision for to build the wall of Israel. It was a king that was not part of being an Israel that made provision for that. I have prayed to God, especially concerning this church. I ask God, Lord, the great things we want to do, especially all this, you know, church and children's place, let there be provision. And one thing I have confidence in my heart is this. If God is going to suddenly make somebody a billionaire to make a lot of things happen for this project, I absolutely believe it will happen. Here's the deal. The reason is this. And the reason we are acting out in faith is because when we start, you know, if we go by economics, we can ask people in church of you, so how much do we really have for us to be planning a project of $3 million or $4 million? And by the way, what are we thinking? I mean, seriously, we're not like 75 families, but we're believing God for greater pictures. See the pictures there? I know a lot of churches, they put pictures like that. But I've thought about it. You see, I revised my picture. I already sent initial picture several months ago. But after I prayed to God, God is like, seriously, you have no idea what I can do. I said, so how big are we talking about? He said, it's bigger than what you think. Bigger than all my problems. He's bigger than everything. God is bigger than every mountain I can or cannot see. He's bigger than all my problems. He's bigger than everything. God is bigger than every mountain I can or cannot see. We say faith that can move mountains. And that was what Jesus said.
He said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, mountain is a large place that is elevated beyond the surroundings that will make you feel like, oh my God. So you can say to the mountain, be moved, and it will move. It is not because you can reason it out. When I keep telling people, look, I'll be consulting for president, and people are thinking, oh, forget Obama. Obama is too small in the scope of things I'm talking about. I'd be thinking that, I know you are too proud. That was exactly how Daniel was too proud in Babylon. When he said, oh, by the time he became a superintendent of governors, they would ask him, can you go and talk to Daniel? And Daniel would be like, this is what will happen. I pray that every seed of greatness in you, the Lord will give you the boldness to step out to begin to do them in the name of Jesus. The reason we are in church is not so that we can be a church member. The reason why we are in church is so that you can become the greater you that has not been revealed. So that you can begin. When Jesus was living, he was not living when he has incorporated Jesus' ministry. So that he can prove that, oh, these people are well trained, they are certified, they have insurance, they have this and that. Jesus did not start a ministry with, in fact, he said, he started with people that were not well equipped. Not, I mean, in terms of education, who among them was the most educated? It would be Levi. He was an accountant. He was working for, you know, Caesar. But even was not, that was not what, he counted on Peter. Seriously? God is counting on us here. But we have to step out in faith. If there is anything I'm challenging you, if there is something in your heart you've been believing God for, it will look like you are trying to do something that is unbelievable. But please, the moment you have had God said go, and God told Moses, you are standing in front of the Red Sea. You have 700,000 people with you, including men, women, and children. And you have enemy coming behind you. See, I tell you, tell them to move forward. Doesn't make any sense. If God is going to tell me to move forward, he should have provided like the CNV, like a nervous sheep. And he has made sure that people are already in the sheep. And then he will have closed the door so that nobody can attack them. He will have done hair cover so that the airplane will be going in front. And then God will have made available armies around. But God didn't do that. God was saying, I am telling you, if I let them to get out for free, I will take you out. And I already have a place for you. You know what Moses did? Okay. So, sir, what do you want me to do again? What's that big plan? He says, take that rod and take it. Seriously, if God told you that, to take a rod, something that makes absolutely no human sense. Because what I'm saying here, if faith is acting based on trust, you are not going to ask because you thought or you knew or you understand or you can figure it out. It does not make any sense. God says, just raise your hand. That's it. You say, if I raise my hand, how high? And so, which direction? You know, you're going to be asking very intelligent questions, but they are not really faith-based questions. You know, God, so if I raise my hand, so will that cause the wave to come? Will that divert the speed of the wave? You know, you begin to reason. That's why the Bible says faith is not evidence of what you have seen before. It's evidence of things to come. There's something that God wants to do with everybody here. I don't know it. I can only see where God is taking me to. But I believe where God is taking you to. There is something you want to do this month, this year, that you are beginning to say, God, can you back me up? You are afraid of it. You will be afraid of it. Because it is because it's not simple. Because if it's simple, you'll have done it. It is something that you say, okay, now, so God, if I do that. So if you look at everything else will fail. Say, God, but I want to go. I want to go. I want us to pray this morning. If you don't mind, let's just rise on our feet as we pray. You need to step out of your comfort zone and do something. God wants you to become greater than you are right now. And it's because he loves us. That's why he gave us these things. I wanted to say, Father, I believe your word. I know that, in fact, if you consult a lot of people, the answer they will give you will be so ridiculous, even though it will be smart. But it will not be the right answer. But if you tell God, God will tell you to do something that may look simple. And I pray today that the Lord will make the power of the Spirit of God to register in your heart so that you can do everything that you need to do in the name of Jesus. Every idea that the Lord has put in your heart, I pray that you begin to execute them in the name of Jesus. I wanted to pray and say, Father, I step out in faith today. Lord, I don't know what is it that you want to do, whether it is about your job, whether it's about your business, whether it's about your school, it may be about your career, it may be about your children, it may be anything, your home, it may be your, whatever it is, your ministry. Lord, I step out in faith. I tell you what I don't share a lot of testimonies, but one thing I told you about, I came back to my senses after I finished writing my paper. It's because I know that God is one that can always, always step out when you begin to act. I want you to pray and say, Lord, help me, oh God. Bible says, and when he asked Philip, how can you provide for this? Philip is saying, if we begin to get money, it will not be enough. Jesus, Bible says, and Jesus knew what he was going to do already. He knows what he's going to do. He knows what he's going to do. Just ask him and say, Lord, I step out this year. Every idea that you will put in my heart, in faith, I act in trust of your authority, of your name, and it shall be well in the name of Jesus. It shall be well in the name of Jesus. I want you to pray against every spirit of fear. You know, Bible says, and Sanballat and Tobias and they all came and Geshem. They said, even if this is happening, the world will fall down. I want to pray every enemy that will want to make your plan, your purpose, the counsel of God for your life to look small. I want you to pray and say, Father, I reject those counsels in the name of Jesus. It may sound smooth and great like the counsel of Ahithophel. That every Bible says that everyone that listened to Ahithophel is like the God must be speaking. But you know what? That man had a very terrible idea, advising the father and the son at the same time to oppose themselves. I want you to pray and say, Lord, every counsel of Ahithophel, every thought that is coming like that of Geshem, of Sanballat and Tobiah, that will want to discourage me from building the great wall, from stepping out in faith, from reaching out to great things, Lord, I reject them in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of fear, Bible says, and Peter saw the wind boisterous. He was looking at it and it began to sink because he was looking at the surrounding. I wanted to pray and say, Father, I quit looking like man, because when you look physically, you only see the physical. But when you see spiritually, you begin to see the things that have not been manifest. Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what God has in store for his people. But you have to reach out and step out in faith. Father, I reject every thought of fear in the name of Jesus. Bible says fear has torment, because that's what it does. It tries to prevent you from moving hard to do all the things you need to do in the name of Jesus. I want us to pray lastly for the church. Father, I pray this hour, everything that will prevent this church, this family of God, from stepping out in faith to do the things we're supposed to do, to reach out to people, to pray for one another, to hold up each other's hand, to encourage one another, to begin to reach out to the community, to have impact in this land and not looking around and say, we're redeemed, we're this and that, and all kinds of stuff. I want us to pray and say, Father, we step out in faith in the name of Jesus. Even concerning the building, I know it is settled already. Therefore, I have no worries of my heart. I know that God is more than able to supply all that is needed and required. Everything that is required, the Lord will supply. I want to pray and say, Father, help us as a body of Christ to do all things. All things. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Father, I thank you this morning for everyone that is here this morning. Lord, as they step out according to your word alone, Lord, you are the one that you always back up your word. You are the one that when you send people on errand, you already went ahead of them. Lord, I pray, everyone that will be launching out in faith this year, whatsoever, no matter how big or small, Father, I pray that the host of heaven, by your mighty hand, you will back them up in the name of Jesus. As your people will be launching out in faith to reach out to other people, to speak confidently, to talk about you, Lord, I pray, let there be signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. Bible says, and these signs shall follow those that believe in the name of Jesus. We cast out demons. I pray through every vessel, as they will step out even this year, Lord, there will be signs and wonders in their lives and their families and their homes in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. This week shall be a week of blessing. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. You may be seated for a minute.
Praise the Lord. Praise our Heavenly Father. The church would like to welcome everybody to today's service. this is the third Sunday for the year, and I hope the year has been fruitful for everybody so far. I hope you've all been encouraged. Kindly listen to the following announcement. The Sunday school service starts by 9 a.m. every Sunday, as always, and our worship service starts at 9:15 to 11:30, except on those special events. Our midweek services remain the same. On Wednesdays, we have the prayer and intercession starting at 6:45 to 7:30, and we have our Bible study from 7:30 to 8:30. And our choir rehearsals on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And I hope everybody who's interested in joining the choir would please join them and partake in this. We're still looking for workers in his vineyard, and we would like to encourage new workers, old workers, whatever type of workers we have, to please be active, participate, and we have the workers application form in the office over there, which will pass around to people, so you can tell us what department you want to serve in, and we can pray with you, and we can welcome you officially into the workers' fold. One other thing before. Okay. I have another announcement, but I'll let Sister Kemi give it fully. It's about February 13th event for married couples. But however, before we go into that, this is something going on. We have the Redeemed Federal Credit Union. So we're having our own credit union for Redeemers. So, I think a credit union is a bank, but I stand to be corrected. But I think it is a bank. We'll pass this across and we'll share with everybody. Oh, it's too large for the screen to show everything. But this was inaugurated last Friday, January the 15th, during the RCC GNA prayers retreat at the campground at Floyd, Texas. It has a lot of instructions. I wish I could read every single item to you, but our time is fast spent. However, once you get a copy of this, you can read through, you can identify with it. So as to be considerate of our time, I'll let Sister Kemi come and talk to us about the February 13th event.
Let's encourage her.
Praise God. I actually told my husband to announce it, but okay, so highlights of the event. We have an event planned for February 13th, and it's going to be at the Four Points by Sheraton, right there by the airport. I just want to thank the pastor for letting us go ahead with the program, because it was a lot of time, a lot of commitment made money-wise, and the administrative department too for giving us the opportunity to do this. I'm just going to run through it quickly, but I think going on, I'll send some more information going out. It's going to be on the 13th February, which is on Saturday. It will be starting 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And we already have a hall booked, and we also have some rooms blocked for this day. So how it's going to work is 6 to 6:30, we're going to be having pictures and cocktail. It's a formal event, so you have to dress fancy, look pretty. So the ladies wear your ball gown, the men wear your suit and your bow tie or something really nice. We want to try to make it as organized as possible. I'm actually working with a sales representative at the hotel, and she's been really good and really gracious. From 6 o'clock to 6:30, you're going to come into the lobby On the right-hand side is a fireplace, and that's where the pictures will be taken. So you're going to be taking a picture with your spouse. And then on the left-hand side is the bar. I'm going to be giving us some, like, wristbands, and you can take cocktail at the bar. And then you'll be ushered downstairs to where the event is going to take place. Your children will be taken care of, so you don't have any excuse at all. Ages 2 to 7, that's why we have the rooms blocked. Children ages 2 to 7 will be in the room, and we have one of our sisters here that is grateful. She's decided to give her time to be able to look after the kids. So it's going to be like a slumber night for the kids, 2 to 7. They're going to be in their pajamas, so dress them up in comfortable pajamas. They're going to have cookies, pizza, and they're going to have a movie in their room. The hotel is going to go ahead and supply the cookies for them, and then we're going to go ahead and cover some other things to make sure that they're well taken care of. For the children, just because it's a business, if you're dropping your child, you're going to have to register your child. So you want the child's name, the parent's name, and your telephone number. The reason is because if your child is needs one or two things and the person in charge is not able to take care of a child, she can call you or text you, and that way you can come upstairs and you'll be able to attend to your child. And this is just because it's a business. We have to understand that it's a hotel. We don't want to disturb other guests too as well. So we want to try to make sure that it's all well arranged and well organized. Basically, I think that's it. For the older kids, we also have another room. So we have four rooms blocked. You're free to... We have four rooms blocked. Three have been taken. We have one more. If you do decide to stay at the hotel overnight with your spouse, which I would encourage you to, it's Valentine's Day, let us know. Let me know, and then you can get the discount rate. And then we can all be on the same floor. So if you want to do that, that's something that we'll want to encourage. It's going to be a wonderful event. It's a buffet. There's going to be games. It's going to be a formal and amazing event. The church has spent so much money, so much time, and I just want you to make yourself available. The older kids, you have another room that will be there. The children, 2 to 7, sorry, I forgot to mention, there is a charge for putting them with the person. And I tell you, I've never seen a child care. It's just to encourage her, but it's $5 per child for the old 2-3 hours you're going to be in the event. So $5 for one child for 3 hours, man, go ahead and utilize it. Okay, so if you have three children, $15, but for the old time, she's going to take care of them. All the kids, we're not charging them. That's why we're putting them in a different room, because they can take care of themselves. And as things come up, I'll let you know. But I think Pastor will talk more on it.
Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together for putting a lot of good things together and more information to come by the authority in the name of Jesus. We're so blessed that everyone is doing a lot of great things. So two things I quickly want to do before we take our offering. I know today is also being busy as well. I would like to announce the head of department for our follow-up, because I said that we still have a couple of teams that I will announce who's going to be driving this. And I believe that with follow-up, if there is anything we notice for sure in the church, that somehow we have dangling issues. You know, somebody can't, we can't visit, we can't follow up, we don't know what's going on, and things is happening. But we want to basically move forward with that. And I would like us to just all rise on our feet as we're going to pray for the person that will be moving forward, at least this department, for us to make sure that we can follow up and make sure that we attend to at least other needs of the people. And this person that will be taking charge of this for this moment is in the presence of Mrs. Adesua Adesimo. Amen. I want us to just stretch our hand as she comes out. We're going to pray for her, you know, because I believe that greater her, the Lord, as she's stepping out and as we have talked about today, the Lord, we anoint her for greatness in the name of Jesus. I want you to declare and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, the anointing, the unction to function in this ministry, oh Lord, we put upon you in the name of Jesus. You will not fail. The Lord will cause your hand to be lifted. Everything, oh God, the Lord will put in you, I pray that you'll be able to use to encourage and establish others in the name of Jesus. I pray that you will not fail in the name of Jesus. The Lord will strengthen you. The Lord will give you the right words at the right moment.
The Lord, we encourage you. The Lord, we empower you. Because he's a God that anointed David because he knew he was going to be the ruler. Therefore, I pray that you shall be the head and not the tail. The Lord will cause you to be empowered. The Lord will cause you to be, as you are going to be faithful unto God, the Lord will begin to release the treasures of heaven that belongs to you truly into your hands in the name of Jesus. Everything that want to stand as obstacle on your way, I pray that the Lord will remove them for you. The ones that the Lord will make you to see, you'll be able to avoid them. The Lord will establish your heart. I pray that the Lord will cause greatness to come upon you in the name of Jesus. Everything you bind on earth, because follow-up requires praying for people, I pray that the Lord will honor the words of your mouth in the name of Jesus. Everything that will make you to stumble in faith, I pray that the Lord will take away from around you in the name of Jesus. Every time you will hear people and say, I just want to say hello to you, they will hear the voice of God in the name of Jesus. By the time you have encountered people, will be like, I am encouraged by your talk. So shall it be in the name of Jesus. Everything that needs to happen, I pray that the Lord will put in you in the name of Jesus. The unction to function, the Lord will release upon you in the name of Jesus. I pray you will be equipped. Your life, your family, the Lord will protect in the name of Jesus. In every walk in life, there is always a danger. I pray every trap that may be set around, whatever it may be, I pray the Lord will eliminate those in the name of Jesus. I pray the Lord will cover you. As you faithfully serve God, I pray that the Lord will open the treasures of heaven unto you. The Lord will anoint you. The Lord will favor you. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will fill you up in every way in the name of Jesus. Everything you need, the Lord will supply in the name of Jesus. Every desire of your heart that you have asked God, that thought that has not come, I pray that the heavenly will release unto you, even in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray as you have taken this small assignment, I pray, Bible says, oh yes, he who has been tested and the faithful and the small shall be given great. I pray that the Lord will release unto you greater things, even that you are believing him for, in the name of Jesus. Father, let it be so, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. God bless you indeed. Please, before you go, let me just anoint you. God bless you indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. One more thing. Like I said, today is packed. Before we take the offering, and then we share the grace. All right. I'd like to welcome, please, guys, just come forward. Come forward, both of you. Double up, double up, double up. Help me encourage them. All right. They want to share something with us. Please do not worry about the hesitation, okay? It's just going to tell us quickly.
All right. We made an Instagram for the church. We want you to follow it. It's Grace Pavilion, Texas.
We feel that it's going to be a great way to advertise our program and better spread. The program, like I said, and we would like it if you would follow it. So,
Don't go yet, guys. They're so shy. They're like, we don't want to say anything. But sincerely, I want us to encourage them. They've created an Instagram for the church, and there, I'll be moderating it, so please don't be worried. I'll be moderating it. I know what the password is and everything. They shared that with me. But sincerely, I see the beginning of greater. We don't follow all these things. They follow all these things, right? You know? And I really want to make sure that they can continue. The fact that this is just, you know, they're like, Instagram is good. We can do it. I said, go for it. Let's do it. You know, I'll be posting you content. I want you to update and every now and then. And then they will be marketing and sending out to, well, not marketing, but at least share it with their friends. Is that what they call it, sharing? Hashtag Grace Pavilion. Okay, I don't know all the, you know everything. All right. But they will be coming up every now and then to talk more about it. Not just that Facebook or nothing, but I want, because of responsibility that's around it and protection around it, that Instagram, I will be the one moderating it, but they will be doing all the whatever that update thing is. And everything. Let's encourage them. Let's put our hands together for them. God bless you indeed. Amen. We're not on technology. We're behind. So if that's going to catch a lot of people, I want to make sure that we advertise them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just rise on our feet as we give our offering unto the Lord today. I know it's been a time, but it's been a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord. I want us to give us unto the Lord.
as unto the Lord. I want us to package our gift whatsoever the Lord has laid in your heart that you wanted to give this day unto God. I want to pray over it. I want to say, Father, I thank you for giving me the privilege to come to your presence today. As I give unto you, bless this offering. Sanctify me and my offering. Accept me, O God, that I will be blessed by giving. Father, I thank you because you've been faithful, for you have blessed the works of my hand. That is why I have to give this day. I want to say, Father, accept me this morning or this afternoon. Father, bless the works of my hand. I cast and sow my seed in your house. Let it germinate this day. Pray to God in a minute. Just ask him. And give, if you have your tithes and your offering, give us unto the Lord.
We'll be taking the AM 61, My Jesus I Love Thee, while the offering basket goes around. AM 61, My Jesus I Love Thee.
Living Jesus. Amen. As we're going to close the service today, I want to thank God, say Pastor Bisley, nice to see you. Happy New Year's. Amen. And also, Sister Afi, I know this 28th is your birthday. Amen. We're going to come and eat cake. There's no running away from that. Amen.